You know, everybody has opinions as to what church members ought to do. You ever notice that? And most of the time, our opinions are about what somebody else, what some other church member ought to be doing. Yeah, you're agreeing with that. I understand. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some things that the Bible says that we as church folks ought to be doing. Some ways we ought to be living our lives. Some ways we ought to be ministering in and through the church. But before we start looking at some of the things that we might should be doing, we're going to take a few minutes this morning and think about some of the attitudes behind that. You know, if we try to do ministry, if we try to do what we call the work of the church, without the right kinds of attitudes, we get frustrated, we get burned out, we get aggravated, and we end up just making a mess out of things. But if we have the right attitudes, then doing becomes more natural. It becomes joyous. When we have a biblically directed attitude, we experience joy in church membership. Have you got joy in church membership? Some do. Some don't. We begin by recognizing not every church is like ours, because not every church is perfect. Oh, wait a minute. I was somewhere else when I said that before. No. We recognize that no church is perfect. Do you know that there are actually some church members that irritate others? I mean, that really happens. Unlike Charles and I, most pastors and staff members are not perfect. Well, you see what they think about us. We just need to be careful, folks, that when we serve, when we get involved in the ministry of the church, that we're not trying to do so out of some legalistic obligation, but that when we get involved in the local church and when we are ministering in and through the church, we're doing so out of an overflow of love for and from Jesus Christ in our lives. So we're going to be talking about a few of the right attitudes this morning for a few minutes. The right attitude. We'll begin by saying, I am a unifying church member. What are you looking at me like that for? In order for a church to be a healthy church, there must be unity in that church. There just cannot be disunity and disharmony and still expect to have a healthy, strong, vibrant church. And unity only works when the membership of the church makes the decision that they're going to put the good of the church before his or her own personal desires and or styles. You know, so many of us in church life, because we pray and because we read the Bible and because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, so many of us think that when it comes to the church, if I think this is the right thing, then it's got to be the right thing for the whole church. Ever notice that? Doesn't always happen that way. In Ephesians 4, 1-3, Paul emphasizes unity. He says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, and bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God's word mandates that we strive to have an attitude of unity in the church. And if we're going to have that attitude of unity in the church, it requires some things. The first is humility. Humility. Now, people think that means thinking less of myself than what I think I really am. But humility doesn't mean thinking less of myself. It means thinking of myself less. Understanding my value in God's kingdom. Understanding that God has made me in His image. Understand that God has gifted me. Understand that God has placed me in a particular place to serve and to be used by Him. And understanding that, yes, I am as important as someone else and they are as important as I am. But not focusing on me, focusing on others. Each individual must decide to put the good of the church above and beyond their own personal desires. We have to remember that. Secondly, if we're going to have unity in the church, there must be gentleness. Oh, my stars. Please don't talk to my wife about this one. There must be gentleness in our lives. That means that we have to learn how to control our tempers and demonstrate kindness to other church members, whether they're the good guys or the jerks. Oh, I didn't say that out loud either, did I? And sometimes we do a half decent job at that, and other times we just blow it slam out of the water. But we have to learn how to be gentle. And we have to learn how to be patient. I wish you could see the looks I just got. I read a little thing the other day, said my eyes are the strongest thing in my body. I roll them at least 300 times a day. I just got 100 of them. We have to be patient. That means, guys, that we're going to be called on by God to put up with a lot of stuff from other church members, from other believers, from non-church members, from non-believers. We're going to be called upon by God to put up with a lot of stuff, and it's going to frustrate us, and it's going to confuse us, and it's going to perplex us. And we're not going to be able to understand their attitudes, and we're not going to be able to understand their behaviors. And guess what? They don't understand yours either. Most of the time. Truth be told, half the time you don't understand your own. You fall in that place where Paul said, the things that I should, I don't, and the things that I do, I shouldn't. Are you talking to me? If it is, it's all right. Then, if there's going to be unity, if we're going to have the attitude of unity in our lives, there must be the acceptance of one another in love. And that means that we need to accept people unconditionally. Now, hear me. That does not mean that we condone sin. But it does mean that we demonstrate a tremendous amount of grace. And sometimes I have difficulty demonstrating grace to people. And every time I have grace or difficulty demonstrating grace to people, God calls my name and he said, can I list for you the things that I've extended grace to you for today? And he never has to go back to yesterday or last week or last year or throughout the ages. Some of this stuff gets tough and hard to swallow. It's almost like they said to Jesus in John when he was teaching, he said, these are hard sayings. Who can stand this? But remember how much grace has been poured into your attitude, into your life, and you must have, I must have, an attitude of unity. Secondly, the right attitude is I am a sacrificial church member. Look at what Paul writes, Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself to becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. The Bible says that we are to have the attitude of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Try to think the way that Jesus thinks. And the closer we become to him in our relationship with him, the more that we love him, the more that we surrender to him, the more like him we become. But most of us have a tremendously long way to go. The sacrificial attitude that Jesus had, it was an attitude that took him from the throne of glory all the way to the cross. You know, I thought about this and I thought about this and I've come to the conclusion we're going to sacrifice one way or the other. We're either going to sacrifice because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, or we're going to sacrifice our relationship with Jesus Christ because of our own personal desires. It's going to be one way or the other. It's either going to be all about me or all about him. The more it's about me, the less it's about him. The more it's about him, the less it becomes about me. We need to be sacrificed. The more we sacrifice, the more we're acting like Jesus. And I'm not talking about making a big deal of it, making sure everybody knows that you gave this money or that you were involved in that ministry or you did this thing for that widow or whatever it is that God has you doing. You don't have to be telling about it. That's not sacrifice. Just do it and let God get glory out of it. Thirdly, an attitude that is right in our lives is that I am a prayerful church member. Well, I'm going to tell you, through these 40 plus years of ministry, I have had people everywhere that we've ever been. I've had people tell me, preacher, I pray for you every day. And you know what? There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that is and has been true for all of these years. I know that. It's likely that those prayers are the reason that our ministry together has had whatever level of success and it has been blessed as much as it has been through all of these years. As I stand here this morning, I know without a doubt in my mind that there are many of you that pray for both Dale and I every single day. Other than to say thank you, the only thing I can say about it is please don't quit. We need that prayer. A friend of mine would say, and you need the practice. But please don't quit. Listen to what Paul said about prayer in the church. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul had an attitude of prayer. He lived his life in prayer. And it appears that he wanted the church to exist in an attitude of prayer. So let's think about this attitude of prayer for a minute. And we're going to look at 1 Timothy 3, 7. And it says, moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Now, that's one of the verses in the Bible that talks about the pastor and leaders in the church and what their character needs to look like and all of that stuff. But after Paul got done talking about the character issues, he said, so that they may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. Paul refers to the devil's ambition as a snare or a trap. Did you ever see a trap get set accidentally? Doesn't happen. I never had a mouse trap get set accidentally. I've had them get unset accidentally. But not set. No bear ever fell into a trap that was set accidentally. It just walked right over the ones that weren't intentionally set. You see, it is the strategic plan of Satan to take down pastors and deacons and Sunday school teachers and other church leaders and strong church members. It's his plan to take us down. The ones that are being faithful to God, the ones that are serving God, the ones that have the right attitudes, the ones that are being used by God, the ones whose lives bring honor and glory unto the King of Kings, it is the enemy's plan to bring you down. And so we need to find out how we respond to that reality. And Paul again says in Ephesians 6, 18, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. Doing what? Praying for each other, for the church, for the body of Christ. One of the attitudes that I have to have is a prayerful attitude. The fourth right attitude that we need to look for is I am a joyful church member. Have you ever noticed that people that are grateful are usually very joyful? You ever notice that? Philippians 4 beginning at verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If we are to be joyful, if we're to have joy in our lives, we must be gentle and gracious. There comes that grace thing again. We must be gentle and gracious. That means, guys and gals, that There's not room in our lives as believers and as children of God and as faithful servants of God. There's not room in our lives for abrasiveness. Somebody said, you know, that guy, he always rubs people the wrong way. He's abrasive. Not gentle, not gracious. And yet God says that's what we need to be. If we're going to have joy in our lives, and this is a biggie, we must pray instead of worry. I didn't say pray and then worry. So we must pray instead of worry. And it's not praying while we're worrying. We must pray. When we pray, we trust God. When we worry, we don't trust God. Can't do both all at the same time. It just doesn't happen. And when we pray, we must pray with an attitude of gratefulness, an attitude of thanksgiving or gratitude. If we're going to have joy in our lives, we can't be praying with an attitude of dread. We can't be praying with an attitude of, I don't want this. We can't be praying with an attitude of, I know better than you do, God. We need to be praying with an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness that comes from knowing that God indeed is God, and that God indeed loves me, and that God settled the love question when Jesus Christ died on Calvary so that my sin could be forgiven and I could have everlasting life. And we need to be grateful for the relationship that He has allowed us to have with Him. And gratitude in our lives needs to be an ever-increasing part of who we are. Amen. Have you ever seen what I call a GCM? Ever seen one of them? Grumpy church member. Did you ever see one? You know, that's the ones that complain about everything. You could give them 3 bowls of ice cream and they'd complain because they didn't get the 4th one. They're the ones that are the constant critics of the deacons or the pastor or the staff. Constant critics about everything that goes on in the church. They're the ones that give some money and sit back waiting to reap their rewards. And when they don't get the attention they think they deserve, and when things don't go the way they think they ought to go, they become divisive within the body. Fortunately, we don't have any of these people. There goes those eyes again. I saw them. I saw them. But then we have the JCM. That's the joyous church member. They're the ones that count their blessings every day. Do you know that just by sitting by yourself for 5 minutes, naming off just 5 minutes worth of blessings that God has poured into your life, it'll change your whole day? It'll change your whole day. It'll change your whole attitude. They're the ones that are grateful for the freedom and the opportunity to come together and worship with other believers. They want to be here. They're not the ones that say to their kids or grandkids or their neighbors, no, I can't do that. I got to go to church. You don't got to go. You don't got to go to church, guys. You get to. You have the opportunity to. You're allowed to. Like, unlike some other places in the world that we live in, you are allowed to get up out of your house, get into your car, drive to church, get out, walk inside of whatever building it is that you go to worship the living God, and be there with other people publicly without fear. And joyous people understand that. They understand that God has given us the privilege of going to church. Yeah, great-grandmothers are pretty special, aren't they? The difference between the GCM and the JCM is only one thing. It's called attitude. That's all. We receive the gift of salvation. When that happens, we become a part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 28 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, and God has appointed the church." When you receive this free gift of salvation, guys, you also receive the gift of membership into the body of Christ or into the church. So you know what? If you're part of a local body of Christ, if God has put you in a local church, if you're serving in that local church, if you've been drawn into that body of Christ, I want you to understand that being a part of that local body of Christ is a gift to you from God. He has given you that privilege. He has given you that honor. He has given you that gift. And we should be joyous and grateful about that. You see, it really is a matter of attitude. So let's move now from the I am to I will. You see, your attitude determines who you are. I am joyous. I am angry. I am grateful. I am jealous. Our attitudes are the foundation of the things that we do in our lives. So let's think. Maybe you have a good attitude. Maybe you're not a whiner or a complainer. Maybe your heart is in the right place. And so the question there is that reflected in your life? How does that come out in your relationship to the family of God? You know, it hasn't been too many years since the definition of an active church member was somebody that was at church or involved in a church activity 2 to 3 times a week. That was considered an active church member. In 2016, that's where we are, in most circles, an active church member is considered to be someone who is involved in about 3 services or activities of the church a month. So in less time than I've been being a pastor, we have gone from the active church member being 2 to 3 times a week to being 3 times a month. Does that bother anybody else? Or does it just bother me? Does it bother anybody else that because the average church member isn't really involved in the church the way the Bible tells us about, that an awful lot of churches have given up on midweek prayer services and Bible studies and missionary trainings and those kinds of things, or that many churches have given up on Sunday nights. Many churches have given up on Sunday school. Many churches, even evangelical churches, all they do is the Sunday morning worship service as far as services are concerned. Then they do some other things on the periphery. Does that bother anybody but me? I think that the falling away from being involved with the body of Christ and being nurtured by the body of Christ and being encouraged by the body of Christ is part of the reason that we live in a society that has moved so far away from God and has brought us to the place where we have all that's going on in our world today. I think that it's time for a church member revolution. Not because we're obligated, but I think there ought to be a revolution in the church out of an attitude of gratitude towards the church and the bride of Christ. We've got to come back to the place to where the church is important. Because the church is the living organism that God has ordained to reach the world for Jesus Christ. It's not faith riders. It's not Christian Motorcycle Association. It's not Awanas. It's not any parachurch group, campus ministries. All of those are good and valuable, but they cannot and they will not take the place of the local church, and I know that because that's what God says. It's time for a revolution. It's time for God's people to be the church. I want you to know, I believe with everything in me, you ought not attend church because you feel like you have to. You ought to attend church because of your love of God. Amen. You ought to attend church because you want God to use you in that church. Oh, wait a minute. Did I leave something out? Yeah, I did. You ought not to attend church because of what you think you can get out of that church. Not what you can get out of it, but what God can use you to put into it. When you neglect to attend church, whether it's Sunday morning, that all-important midweek prayer service, the Sunday night service, when you neglect to attend church, then you damage the body of Christ. And I say that because the body of Christ is enriched and strengthened and grows by your participation. When you don't use the gifts that God has given you within the local church, the body of Christ suffers. If God has gifted you with teaching and you don't do that, the body of Christ suffers. If God has gifted you with singing and you don't do that, the body of Christ suffers. If God has gifted you with in-home visitation and you don't do that, the body of Christ suffers. It's time for a revolution in the church. God is calling church members God is calling people that have been born again and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ to become active, to forsake self and serve Him and serve others for His glory. So here we are again at that place where we ask questions. Will you come back to Philippians 2:5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Will you do that? Will you think about life the way He thinks about life? Will you think about ministry the way He thinks about ministry? Will you become sacrificial? Will you become prayerful? Will you become joyful? Will you be a unifying church member? That last question. Will you be unifying, sacrificial, joyful, having as your primary focus the glory of God by ministry to and through His church? You know what? If you grab onto that, if you make that commitment to God through Jesus Christ, then your relationship with the local church will grow. You will receive much more than you'll ever get out of it if you just sit there and wait for God to bless you. So it's time for our decisions. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this time today that we can share together. Thank You for these that have come. Thank You for these babies and these little children that are in this place this morning. How good it is to hear their chatter and to know that they are here because You have gifted us with them. But God, I thank You for the youngest and the very oldest that's in this place today. The one that's 5 or 6 months or 3 or 4 months, and the one that may be 90 or 91, and everyone in between, I thank You for each one. And what I know, God, is because we have breath in our bodies, You can use us. You can use the little baby, and You can use the oldest one in this place for Your glory. How do I know that? Because You say so. And because I've watched You do it over and over and over and over. So God, would You just encourage Your people? Would You strengthen Your people? Would You call us to be more like Jesus? In His name, amen.